الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Honorable brothers in attendance, there are many excellences, virtues and merits of reciting Salat ala Nabi, salutations upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And throughout the ages, alhamdulillah, our ulama, our scholars of Islam, to emphasize and to make people aware of the greatness of this act, reciting Salat ala Nabi, they wrote numerous books. Subhanallah, they wrote many, many books on the virtues of reciting Salat ala Nabi. And some books were written on different compositions of Salat ala Nabi. For example, normally we recite Durood Ibrahimi, which is the superior Durood Sharif, or any other Durood Sharif, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad. And one particular book, subhanallah, mentions so many different compositions, beautiful compositions of Salat ala Nabi. What is that book called? That book is called Dala'ilul Khayrat. And the author of that book is Imam Jazuli rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh. Now there's an interesting account, an interesting story behind why he wrote that book. It's mentioned that once he was going somewhere with his students, his disciples, when the time of prayer entered and he wanted to perform his salah on time, and for this he needed to do wudu. So they came nearby a well and they saw that the well had water in it, but it was deep. It was quite deep down. The water was not towards the surface. They didn't have anything, no bucket, no rope, anything to take out water. So what do you do in such a situation? When you don't have the tools, the required tools to take out the water, what do you do in that situation? A young girl was watching this scene and she says, "Are you the Imam Jazuli who is renowned, whose mention is on everyone's lips? You're very famous." And it was said, "Yes, this is Imam Jazuli rahmatullahi alayhi." She says, "You're Imam Jazuli, but you cannot take water out of the well." And then what did she do? She recited something and then placed her spittle into that well. When she placed her spittle into that well, subhanallah, everyone witnessed and observed that the water which was deep down in the well rose to the surface immediately. Subhanallah, when the people saw this, obviously they were curious and they wanted to know how the water rose to the surface. It was so deep down, they had almost lost hope of gaining access to that water. But she placed spittle into the well and the water rose to the surface. So she was asked, "What did you do? What did you do and what was the cause, the reason for the water rising to the surface?" She says, "I recited Salat ala Nabi, salutations upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and as a result, subhanallah, the water rose to the surface." So she recited Durood Sharif, and then she placed that spittle into the well. Due to the barakat, the blessings of Durood Sharif, the water rose to the surface. And that is when the people who were with Imam Jazuli rahmatullahi alayhi and himself, they all performed wudu. Now, Imam Jazuli rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi made a firm intention thereafter that if this is the barakat, subhanallah, of reciting Durood Sharif upon the Prophet alayhi salam, reciting Salat ala Nabi, and I make an intention to write and author a book only on this topic, full of beautiful compositions of Durood Sharif Salat ala Nabi. SubhanAllah, this was the background. This was what caused Imam Jazuli Rahmatullahi Alayhi to write that book, which is world famous. It's renowned, Dalailul Khairat. And he even wrote a chapter for each day of the week. And people who recite Dalailul Khairat, people who read it regularly, daily, SubhanAllah, they observe and they see the barakat, SubhanAllah, firsthand. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. People know for a fact that we are all to die. Kullu nafsin za'iqatul maut. And the Quran tells us that أَيْنَمَا تَكُونُوا يُدْرِكُّمُ الْمَوْتِ. Wherever you may be, death will reach you. You can't escape death. And this is something which is accepted by one and all. Someone who is a Muslim, and someone who is a non-Muslim. Everyone knows that they cannot escape death. Every day we hear about deaths on the news, social media. And people die in varying states. Someone dies a horrific death in a car crash. Someone dies, ma'adallah, after being murdered. And like this, there are so many ways, so many examples that I can give. But subhanAllah, how fortunate is that individual who passed away and died whilst a musafir, a traveler in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is truly an honor. And we know from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam that innamal a'malu bil khawatim, that actions are based upon endings. Meaning your last amal has a big bearing on how you will be raised in the akhirah. It could be the case, ma'adallah, thumma ma'adallah, that a person is engaged in sin, in ma'asiyah, and the angel of death arrives to seize his soul. And he'll be raised in that state as well. And subhanallah, it could also be the case, and we pray for this, that when our soul is seized from our body, we are remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are remembering the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We are engaging in acts of obedience, and those acts which lead to pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is an enviable death. That is a death that one and all desire. All Muslims want a death like that. Innamal a'malu bil khawatim. Somebody could lead a life of sin, but his last moment, subhanAllah, Allah honors him in that he does tawbah, repents, and then he will raise in that state as well. It could be the case that somebody is deprived of iman all his life, but then in his last moments, Allah blesses him, he recites kalima shahada, enters the fold of Islam. إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالْخَوَاتِيمِ. Actions are based upon endings. So the end point of your life, that is very, very important, how you die, in what state you die. And we seek protection, seek refuge in the court of Allah from dying in a state of sin, in a state of intoxication, in a state of ma'adallah doing all sorts of wrongdoing. We seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from such a bad end. A hafiz of the Qur'an is that individual who has committed the entirety of the Qur'an from Surah Fatiha all the way till Surah Nas by heart. He's committed it to his heart. He's preserved it. And this is one of the miracles of the Qur'an as well, that Allah has made it easy for the ummah to memorize. In the previous ummah, that wasn't the case. In the previous ummah, the only hafiz of the scripture was the Prophet, the Nabi alayhi salam himself. It wasn't the case that the ummatis, the followers of the previous prophets, they committed the entire scripture to their memory. It wasn't the case. Even Asif bin Barkhiya, radiyallahu ta'ala, who was an ummati of Sayyidina Sulaiman ala nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam, even regarding him in the Quran, we're told, the one who had a portion of the book. And this ummah, subhanAllah, is so blessed that we see young children, 8 years old, 9 years old, 10 years old, subhanAllah, by the mercy of Allah, they've memorized the entire book, the Holy Quran. And we see this. And it doesn't just happen once or twice. It's happened over the ages, will continue to happen as well. Why? وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِذِكْرِ فَهَلْ مِن مُدَّكِرِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our Lord Himself has said in the Quran, and we have made the memorization of the Quran easy. Is there anyone to memorize? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it in the Quran. Is there anyone to memorize the Quran? So we need to, inshallah, make good intentions in this regard. Try to memorize as much of the Quran as possible. And the fadila of a hafiz, that on the Day of Judgment, according to one narration, a hafiz will intercede and perform shafa'at for 10 such family members upon whom hellfire had become wajib. Meaning 10 family members who were destined for hellfire, hafiz of Quran will intercede for them, and by the rahmah of Allah, they will enter Jannah. So this is a fadila, a great fadila in and of itself. So the hufaz, the fadail of a hafiz of the Quran are immense. And then when you look at the fadail of the ulama, on the Day of Judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will stop an alim from going into Jannah. The alim will be curious, what is the reason? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say that you are not stopped for any other reason except that you are to intercede for anyone who benefited you in the world. Anyone who provided any sort of benefit to you, intercede for them now on the Day of Judgment. This is the i'azaz, this is the honor, the eminence granted to the ulama of Islam. Subhanallah, in a hadith we're told that the one who passes away while seeking knowledge, in his grave, the noble angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will teach that person, that student of knowledge, and complete his studies. So look at all of these fada'il gathered in one person. Hafiz of the Quran, studying the deen, and then traveling in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Somebody is traveling in the way of Allah jalla wa ala and he passes away. Going back to the point I made initially, people die in all sorts of ways. Ma'azallah, many times we hear people die very bad deaths. But dying in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what greater honor can you ask for? And then millions of people across the world praying for your forgiveness, conveying rewards to you. Subhanallah, this is a very enviable death. And we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He grants us a similar death as well. Remember, the ulama of Islam have said that there are two categories of a shaheed. Two categories of a shaheed. The first category is shaheed haqiqi. The one who fights in the way of Allah, who participates in battle and loses his life. Like many of the Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, this is shaheed haqiqi. And then there are many martyrs who do not meet this criteria, but nevertheless they are counted in the same ruling as a shaheed. And they are referred to as shaheed hukmi. And you might ask, what are examples of a shaheed hukmi? Which people are included amongst the category of the martyrs? So in this regard, inshallah, let me give you some examples. The ulama have written in the books of jurisprudence that the one who passes away whilst traveling, whilst a musafir, is a shaheed. Another martyr is the one who passes away due to the ulceration of the lungs. This is a disease, we're told, a disease that forms wounds on the lungs and blood oozes out of the mouth. Someone passes away with this illness, he's also a shaheed. Another shaheed is he who passes away whilst falling from a ride. Obviously, there are many modes of transport today. Cars, people pass away in planes as well. So they will be included. The one who passes away by falling from a ride or due to epilepsy. Whoever passes away due to epilepsy is also considered a shaheed by the scholars. The one who passes away in a state of fever, he is also a shaheed. The one who is killed whilst protecting the rights of his wealth, his life, and his family are also from the shuhada as well. Another example, the ulama said the one who is killed by a wild beast is also a shaheed. The one who is imprisoned by a ruler unjustly and he passes away, he is also considered a shaheed. The one who passes away while seeking Islamic knowledge is also a shaheed. A muaddin, someone who calls out the adhan in the masjid, sincerely seeking reward, ajr, he passes away. This person is also considered a shaheed, a martyr. A truthful trader, a tajir al-sadiq. And these things that are being mentioned, they're for our encouragement as well. That we too should try and aim to be amongst these people, in these categories of people. And many people do trading, many people do business. But are they truthful in business? Do they follow and abide by Islamic principles when doing business? This is another thing. So, notice that it says a truthful trader. And in the hadith, we know that a truthful trader will be amongst the Anbiya alayhi salam on the Day of Judgment. So, whoever passes away whilst conducting business as a businessman, a truthful businessman, is also considered a shaheed. The one who struggles to provide for his family and he encourages them to act upon the sharia, he feeds them only halal. If he passes away, he dies as a shaheed. These are things again for us to implement in our lives. That there is, ma'azallah, so much opportunity to earn haram risk. But here we're told, hey, if you want to be a martyr, ensure that only a halal morsel of food enters your own mouth and the mouth of your children and your family. And this is a struggle, this is difficult, because the temptation is always there. But the more taqwa we have in our heart, piety, inshallah, that will help us. It's mentioned, the one who recites Surah Yasin, the heart of the Quran, whoever recites Surah Yasin every single night, and he passes away, inshallah, he is also considered a martyr in Islam. And these are things that we can all do. Let's be honest. We can all achieve this. We can all do this. Recite Surah Yasin at night. How long does it take to recite Surah Yasin? Maybe 10 minutes max. Even if you read extra slow, 15 minutes. But if we take out 15 minutes every night, and then our soul is seized in that state where we're consistent with reciting Surah Yasin every night, and subhanallah, we're considered as a martyr. It's a great reward for something that is within our capability. Also, the one who falls asleep in the state of wudu and passes away, he is also considered a martyr, a shaheed in Islam. The scholars have mentioned that the one who recites Salat al-Nabi 100 times, he is also considered a martyr if he passes away. And this is something that we touch upon regularly, Salat al-Nabi. And Allah knows best how many of us go away and actually implement it. May Allah Ta'ala grant us all tawfiq, enabling grace. But it's a simple act. We hold a tasbih in our hands. And nowadays you have those electronic tasbih as well. And recite 100 durood sharif. How long does that take? Again, 5 minutes, 10 minutes. And look at the reward. The one who passes away on a Friday, Yawmul Jumu'ah, the scholars of Islam have said that even that person is classed as a martyr as well, a shaheed as well. I like this. There are so many other examples as well. Death is written. Death is at an appointed time. The Quran tells us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us. When their death comes to them, they cannot delay it by even a moment. So we should think about this. We cannot bring death forward. We cannot delay it. Death is in the qudra, the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What we can do is make efforts to have a beautiful death, a husnul khatima, a good ending. This is something we all can do. And if this tasawwur, if this thinking becomes embedded in our hearts and minds, subhanallah, then we will always think. We will think about our death. We won't even, you know, we won't think of it as something that is, you know, distant. We will think, if I die right now, what am I doing? If I were to pass away right now, am I doing something which will I prove for me or against me? This is something that we have to think about. And the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'een, subhanallah, the passion that they possessed, the passion that was in their heart to have a good ending, to pass away in this state, subhanallah. And they would ask questions like this in the court of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam: which amal is best for me? Which amal should I do? And we too as an ummah have to go back to the way of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu majmain. And remember, sometimes shaitan deceives us into thinking that you only do a little. And when he deceives us like this, that you only do a little, many a times he makes us even stop doing that little as well. That look, you've got people who are reciting the Quran once a week. You've got people who are reciting Durood Sharif X amount of times. And you only recite one ruku a day. You only recite Durood Sharif 100 times. But remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves that amal which is done consistently, even if it is a little. Wa in qalla, the words of the hadith sharif say that even if it's in a little amount, if you do it consistently, that's from the beloved actions to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So never allow shaitan, your nafs, to make you decrease your a'mal. And always remain consistent with doing a'mal-e salihah. Towards the end of the bayan, I would just like to request my brothers in attendance that we need to make sacrifices for the deen as well. How many of us possess that desire? Let alone becoming a scholar, how many of us possess the desire to have enough knowledge to save us from sin? Because remember, the ulama have said, that amount of knowledge is far the necessary on a person by means of which he can avoid sin daily. So this will differ from person to person. For example, somebody who's not in business, somebody who's not a trader, it's not farther upon him to learn the rules of trade, the Islamic rules and principles regarding tijarat. Similarly, somebody whose parents have passed away, or he was an orphan, for him to read about the huquq of parents is a rewarding act, but he won't be able to implement them. So someone whose parents are alive, he lives with them, he interacts with them daily, is necessary for him to know about the huquq of the parents. Similarly, someone who's married obviously needs to know the rulings of marriage, the rulings of divorce, what can be said, what can't be said. Somebody who's not married, it's not fard upon him at that moment in time. So this would differ from person to person. Each and every one of us knows our own situation. Whether we are involved in tijara, whether we are married, what rulings are binding upon us, this is very, very important. So my humble request, learn sacred knowledge. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in, subhanallah, they would travel from the city of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Madina al-Munawwara, and travel all the way to Egypt, Misr, travel all the way to Sham. And when asked the reason why they undertook this journey of many miles, they said to learn one hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today, me and you have thousands of hadith right in front of us in our mobile phones. We have thousands, literally, a hadith before us on our iPad, on our laptops. That is a sahabi who traveled hundreds of miles to learn one hadith. Look at the jazbah, look at the determination, look at the desire. And today we have compilations upon compilations of hadith. It's become so easy. We have all of these facilities. But sadly, we don't learn. We don't learn ilm-e-deen, sacred knowledge. One sahabi radiallahu ta'ala, he was conversing with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. And this narration is stated in Tafsir Kabir of Imam Fakhruddin Razi rahmatullahi alayhi, that he was conversing with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam when the angel of death arrived and informed that he only has a couple of hours left, a short time left. That Sahabi radiallahu ta'ala realized the importance of that situation now. He's only got a few hours left. He didn't ask the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, what should I do to better my dunya now that I only have 2 hours left? That's probably what a lot of us would have done. Because remember, the more older a person becomes, two desires become even stronger. One, the desire for life. A person may have reached 80, 90, but he still thinks, I've got a lot of time left to live. And the second desire, the second thing that continues to grow along with his age is the desire for an increase in wealth. Wealth as well, maal. He always thinks of these two things as, you know, still being able to increase his lifespan and his wealth as well. Now, this Sahabi radiallahu ta'ala asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, what should I do? What is the most beneficial thing for me right now, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam? That the angel has arrived and told me, I only have a couple of hours left. What shall I do? I listened to what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said to this Sahabi, ishtaghil bitta'allum. That my advice for you in this time, when you only have a short lifespan remaining, is to engage in seeking religious knowledge. Is to engage in learning ilm-e-deen, sacred knowledge. The ulama state that if there was anything more honorable, more worthy of doing than seeking knowledge, the Prophet ﷺ would have mentioned it at that time. Why? Because he is the most knowledgeable in all of creation. The Prophet ﷺ is the most knowledgeable in all of creation. Allah Ta'ala has blessed him with immense knowledge. And the Prophet ﷺ himself is saying to this Sahabi, you have a few moments left, you're asking me what shall I do? Busy yourself in seeking knowledge. And here knowledge refers to sacred knowledge, knowledge of the deen. So dear brothers in Islam, many of us we plan, and tulul amal, having long hopes, this is a disease of the heart, the ulama mentioned as well. That I will do this at this age, and I will do this at this age. Death could be around the corner. Your kafan may have reached the market, the bazaar, and you are none the wiser. This is why a Muslim always has to be cautious and realize that death can come at any time. And he should prepare for death as well. And how wise is the saying of our pious predecessors, rahimahumullah, that prepare for this world in accordance to how long you will live in it. Your life is what, 70 years, 80 years, if you're lucky? And that's it. Prepare for this world, exert yourself in this world, for this world, in accordance to how long you will live in it. But as for the akhirah, prepare yourself in accordance to how long you will live there. And the akhirah, of course, will be eternal. And inshallah, when we're in Jannah, that life will be eternal. But how much preparations are we making for it? What efforts are we making for it? Are we doing the bare minimum, which will lead to regret later? Or are we trying to maximize our time in this world in doing good deeds? May Allah Ta'ala enable us to also ignite this passion in our heart to serve the deen of Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq to learn the Quran, the hadith, the teachings of our beautiful deen and implement them in our lives. Adorn ourselves with that beautiful knowledge. Adorn our children with that beautiful knowledge. And subhanallah, adorn the community if possible as well. Because communities are made up of members, of course. If we're going to be pious and we all try to be pious, inshallah, more and more people will become pious as well. When we interact with people, when we meet people, and we do it in a way that is in accordance to Islam, more and more people will adopt akhlaq-e hasana, beautiful character. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all tawfiq to act upon what has been said in today's bayan. Ameen. Bijahi Nabi al-Ameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
The sake of Medina.